Hi there, Rachel here. If you're listening to this episode in May of 2024, I have some big news. After selling out during the holiday season, my Flex of Gold journal is available for pre-order right now and will be shipping to your home by the end of June. To celebrate, we're running an amazing pre-order sale for Mother's Day. Purchase the journal before May 13th and you'll get $10 off every journal. This is our best price of the year, even better than Black Friday, so it's the perfect time to stock up for gifts for family and friends. This three-year journal helps mothers to notice, savor, and write down the fleeting golden moments that they experience with their children each day. So go to 3and30podcast.com/flexofgold to reserve your copy, and you'll also see our brand new cover colors, as well as our new cover option, which is a wipeable vegan leather. So again, go to 3and30podcast.com/flexofgold to pre-order your journal, and from now until Mother's Day 2024, they'll be marked down by $10 each. I can't wait for you to experience the magic of this beautiful gratitude journal for mothers. Welcome to 3 and 30, a podcast to help you feel more like yourself within your motherhood. Each 30-minute episode features three actionable takeaways to help you become a more self-assured mom, someone who knows yourself, honors your needs, and loves your people. Listen in to feel encouraged as we learn together how to overcome overwhelm and find more magic in motherhood. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. I'm so glad you're here. I want to start this episode by saying publicly that my house is often quite messy. I value order. I feel like I can think better when my house is clean. But with two creative children, a busy husband, a growing business, and an active dog, there is evidence of a lot of living in our home. If you drop by on a random Tuesday afternoon, you will see the evidence of our very full life on the floors, countertops, and shelves of our home. Sometimes the mess drives me crazy, and other times I can make peace with it as just a part of family life. As I've tried to work on my mindset around accepting the mess that is an inevitable part of living, I've been drawn to the work of Carly Thornock, an interior designer and family life coach who did her master's degree research on how homes help families thrive. She leads the movement for houses infused with brilliant humanity, wonder-filled stories, and deeply rooted relationships. Carly was a guest on 3 and 30 several months ago talking about how to create a house filled with stories. And today's conversation is a follow-up about how to own our choices in motherhood and stop letting the mess in our homes become a source of anger, stress, and resentment with our loved ones. This is so much easier said than done, and I do want to acknowledge that up front before we dive into the interview. Some of you listening might have trauma from your childhood that plays into your desire for order, or you might not have support from a partner or community, and the load you carry might feel crushing. That is all very real and valid, and Carly and I hope that these takeaways today will simply be a starting place for you to look at your own situation and ask yourself, what can I do to start rethinking how I view the mess in my home so it won't feel so heavy or keep me from connecting with the people I love? So with no further ado, here's my conversation with Carly Thornock. Carly, welcome back to 3 and 30. I'm so excited to have you on again.
So glad to be here. Always a pleasure. It really is.
Well, in our last conversation, we talked about how to make our homes feel better by the stories we are telling ourselves about our homes, as well as the stories that we are bringing into our homes through the physical items and the decor that we infuse into our homes. And I feel like today's conversation is kind of a follow-up. And the inspiration came because I read your Substack, and you had an article about how we get so distracted from the things that matter most in life. And there was a line in there, you said, stop letting your house come between you and your important people. And when I read that line, I was like, whoa, that is a powerful thought, that we are letting our homes come between us and our important people. And so I invited you back to have a whole conversation around this topic. So thanks for coming back to have this conversation with me.
I'm so excited. This is a topic that I kind of get on my soapbox a little bit about, and I have a lot of passion for. So I'm always glad to talk about it. But I do feel like we're letting our house and the stuff we're worried about, the stuff, be more important than our people. And we need to stop it.
Well, I fully agree. Let's go ahead and jump into your first takeaway.
First takeaway, Rachel, is stop taking orders from the inanimate stuff in your house. Like, I have a stainless steel toaster. And whenever my kids touch it, I'm like, don't touch the toaster. There's a fingerprint on. There's evidence that you used the toaster on the toaster. And that means that I'm a bad mom because then I have all this work to make it clean so that I can feel good again. Who's more important? You or the toaster? Like, this is the question that we're asking. And subliminally, we are choosing the toaster so much. And the reason we know that we are is because we're mad about the toaster. We feel embarrassed about the toaster. We are letting the toaster dictate our emotional state, and we're feeling like trash and we don't know how to turn it off. What's more important, what you think or what the toaster thinks? I mean, really, guys, we got to stop it.
Yeah. So the toaster, like every time you see it, you're like, oh, it's full of crumbs and I'm the worst housekeeper. And or like, this isn't a nice enough toaster. My sister has this super nice toaster. And every time we are there, my son's like, when can we get one of these toasters? So it's kind of funny to me that you use that example, because we just have a crappy old toaster. And I mean, obviously, the toaster is just one example of the bigger picture of sometimes we let our physical belongings make us feel bad about ourselves and about our status as mothers and as women because they aren't nice enough or they aren't clean enough.
Like, what is that about? Why don't we just feel good and use our stuff?
Yeah, I love that. And then what's the second way that we're letting our homes get between us and our people?
So we're letting our chores and our search for approval come between us and our kids. I hear this so many times, so much. On Instagram, people will message me. My clients will tell me this verbally. They're saying, I can't focus on my children because there are dishes in the sink and there is dust on the shelves. I'm so distracted. Some people have even written books about this and called it the silent to-do list. And we all have felt that way, where like the things speak to us in our homes as mothers and stewards of the home environment. We hear the crumbs on the rug. We hear the smear of yogurt on the table. It's so loud. It screams at us. But if we make a decision to listen to the screams, that's all we're going to hear. Because I'm going to tell you this too, it doesn't go away. The smears on the table don't go away. The mud on the shoes doesn't go away. The dishes never stop coming. The laundry's never done. And if you're going to attend and be distracted by this culturally loud noise that your house is making for you, you are never going to have time for your children.
It's so true. I was just thinking that yesterday because I spent a solid hour the other day just like getting caught up on all of the dishes. And then by after dinner, you know, I'm like, how am I staring at this again? But it's, there's no way around it. It is evidence of living. Like, the only other option would be for us to stop living. That, so why am I intent on getting that done and checked off when it will never be checked off? And loosening my grip on that a little bit and saying, yeah, the dishes will always be there, but this opportunity to jump on the tramp with my kids, who are not going to ask me to jump on the tramp with them forever. This is a brief, fleeting time when they want me with them. Like, I can choose that, and the dishes can wait, and I don't need to take orders from the dishes.
Totally.
You're so right that the reason why we care about the dishes is because it makes us feel worthy and it makes us feel approval when it's done. It's not like we inherently like love our dishes and want to tenderly care for them. It's that it's the feeling that we get of having accomplished something, which can be very hard as a mom to feel. I'm not discounting that at all. Like, as women, sometimes it feels like we need some external measures or validators of how we're doing and that we were productive that day. And sometimes chores feel like a tangible way to get that. So to a mom who is struggling with that, what would you say? How can she still get some of that feeling of like, I accomplished something today without being a slave to her home?
We're counting the wrong things. The wrong things are on our checklist. So we don't need to get rid of the checklist or stop striving in any way in our lives. I own my own business. I love to do things big. I love to spend quality time. I love a clean house. I love it all. But what we want to count is the choices that we're making. We want to count the times when we have dishes or our daughter, and we want to count that choice as a check mark. Your dishes probably need to get done at some point. At some point, you're going to need to attend to the dishes. But what I want for you is to make that choice of right now I'm doing dishes. Right now I'm attending to my daughter, and to understand that you are the one in the seat that has the choice maker. You are the choice maker. So when you choose dishes, do your dishes and love it. And don't feel bad about not being with your kids. And when you're with your kids, don't give those dishes a second thought because they're going to be there. They're always there, always watching. Like they're always there. So choose it and feel good about it. And as many times as you can make choices and have your own back in the choices that you make, that is success.
One of my favorite things I've ever learned, Dr. Julie Hanks says that we should be making ta-da lists instead of just to-do lists.
I like that.
I love it. And sometimes at the end of the day, I really will open a notebook and make a ta-da list of what are all the cool things I accomplished today that may not be check-offable. And on my ta-da list, I'll put like, had a really good talk with Noah at bedtime. That counts. That counts more than any of the to-dos I could have checked off today. And so to kind of give my productivity-focused brain a sense of that dopamine or that accomplishment, actually writing it out and making a big list of like all of the to-dos from today helps me. So that might be a concrete strategy for women that want more of that feeling of, but what did I get done today? Make yourself a to-do list at the end of the day.
Oh, I love that so much. And on your to-do list, you can just choose, like write down the choices that you made. Like I chose to watch Bluey with my kid and we sat and held hands for 30 minutes. I chose to be a little bit late to my meeting with the kids at school because somebody needed help getting on their shoes, and to keep my cool, it required me to take a second and breathe. Like I chose that. And I created for myself some really cool things that you actually can't plan for in advance. You're right. Like this to-do list is so cool because you can't plan for that in advance. You can't say, today I'm going to notice that when Susan has this type of meltdown that I will respond in this way. I'm ready to check it off when it comes. Like it just isn't something you can plan for so concretely, but you can ta-da that.
Yeah, for sure. Let's take a quick break to thank this episode's sponsors. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. In February, we talked all about relationships, and I've still got relationships on my mind. We have all kinds of relationships to nurture in our lives. Friends, family, our sweetheart, our children. Recently, I was feeling really down about how difficult it is to make time for everyone in my life. I want to visit close friends and family who are spread out all throughout the country, not to mention I want to make time to nurture some of the more difficult relationships in my life too. If you struggle with feeling too busy or too guilty to take care of your soul needs along with all the relationships in your life, you may need the help of a licensed therapist to help encourage you that it's okay to slow down and to lean on your social network for support. If you're thinking of starting therapy, I recommend trying BetterHelp. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/3in30 today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/3in30. This podcast is also sponsored by Lumi Deodorant, whole body deodorant that is safe to use anywhere on your body. We've all had embarrassing BO moments. Think middle school and beyond. This is why we need great deodorant. And Lumi has all kinds of different deodorant products to fit your preference. Cream deodorant you can rub on, solid deodorant sticks for easy application, and even deodorant wipes, which are a personal favorite of mine. Just a quick wipe down and you'll be smelling and feeling fresher than ever. I usually go with unscented because I like to keep things neutral, but the cool cucumber scented wipes or the clean tangerine solid stick deodorant are great options too. No matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long for up to 72 hours. And the reviews speak for themselves. There's over 275,000 five-star reviews. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code 3in30 at lumideodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi, L-U-M-E, deodorant.com and use code 3in30. And then what is your third takeaway for us about how we're letting our homes get in the way of our relationships?
So our houses when we let them represent our worth and we're seeking to justify our worth, the other relationship that gets lost is our spouse relationship. This is a problem. Here's why it's a problem, because we're not making a choice. I hear people say, I can't relax and be intimate with my husband. We can't go on a date. We can't take time when the house is messy. Have you ever heard people say, I've heard people give advice to men all the time, like, you want to know the best romantic thing you could do for your wife? Do the dishes. And like, I mean, that's great advice. I'm not going to say no to somebody doing my dishes. But what if we as wives could have this ruckus love life, even with a sink full of dishes? What if we had it within ourselves, the confidence and the assuredness and just the space, the expansion that allows us to be present with the other adult in our home in a meaningful way without being kicked in the shins by being guilty about how often we wash our pillowcases or if the floors are mopped.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. And that phrase, I can't relax, as if right. like literally I'm unable to, it's not my choice. I really love in your work, you emphasize choice a lot, that no, you can choose to relax even if you have dirty dishes in the sink. It's up to you. You might have to do some mindset work around it. And I also want to acknowledge that for some people, there may be elements of trauma. If they grew up in a very, very messy home where they were literally neglected and not taken care of, then it can be triggering to be in a mess. And that is a different situation where you absolutely deserve to go to therapy and work on some of that and figure out why you're triggered and how you can remind yourself that you are safe now as an adult. That's very different from what we're talking about with people that just feel like they always have to have everything in tip-top condition in order to be worthwhile.
Totally. And here's the biggest crux of it all, that when we don't feel worthwhile, we abdicate our agency of choice and connection. So if we aren't feeling connected to ourselves, how are we going to connect to somebody else? So these three takeaways kind of build on each other. If we're letting the toaster beat us up, then we aren't going to be in a place to connect with our children or ignore the toaster, because that toaster beats us up. So we better attend to it. And then if we aren't able to connect with our kids and engage in our stewardships, like the personal things that matter to us throughout our day, to have a significant love life with a romantic partner, with our spouse, with these other adults that we love, specifically the one we've chosen to live our lives with and marry, then we have to attend to our own hearts and stop being beat up by the toaster. We have to make the choice that we are worthy, whether or not our house looks or feels a certain way, so that we can engage with our kids. And then when we can steward over our own realm of influence, of course we're going to have a cool marriage, because those are great boundaries. Yeah. Those are great confidence. It's all the things that make a great marriage, and it's all inside of us.
I love what you said there about we need to attend to our own hearts, because that's going to be different for every single woman. As I mentioned, some may have legitimate deeper trauma around this. Some may just have some other issues going on that are keeping them from enjoying their life. Only you can know that when you start noticing, why am I so obsessed with keeping my house clean? I'm going to attend to my own heart and figure this out so that I can prioritize my relationships over my physical space. I think that's such a powerful phrase to remember. In my Self-Assured Motherhood program, I do an entire month on values, and I help women to identify what their core values are. And without fail, with the 200 women that I've taken through this course so far, I always get a question during the values month. What do I do if some of my values compete? And so, like, women often will say, I have a high value for connection, but I also have a high value for order. And so often it feels like those things are competing. And I feel like that goes to the heart of this conversation that we just had. And I mean, you sort of already answered it, but what additional advice would you have for a woman that deeply values order and feels better and feels like her best self in a clean, tidy space, but also deeply values connection and relationships and doesn't want her value for order to get in the way of her value for compassion and connection and play with her children? What advice do you have for her?
One of the favorite things that I learned from Greg McKeown in his book called Essentialism is that the word priorities is not a real use of the term. Like, priority means one most important thing. And so when we say priorities, we are changing the meaning of the actual word.
Like, so priorities, that wasn't a word. When it was originally used, it was just a singular. It was priority.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah. Like, yes. To have one most important thing, and then we're like, to have a lot of one most important things. It's not the proper usage of the word. And that's only helpful because we say that all the time as moms. We say, I value order. I value connection. And yes, there's room for that. There's room for that. But which one most? Mm. Which one most? Mm-hmm. Because if you value connection most, that means sometimes order is going to be sacrificed and you're going to feel really good about that sacrifice because you chose it. If you value order first over connection, you're totally allowed. There is no moral values here. You're allowed to value order because that's a connection to yourself in some ways, right? If you value that connection to order, then get your order done. And then you can connect with other people in the ways that you want to as well. Just choose which one first so that you can make good decisions and have your own back in a way that feels rooted to you.
Yeah, I love that advice. And I also think that you talked about this a little bit earlier in the interview, that yes, you can only have one priority at a time, but that priority can change based on the day, the hour of the day. And it's totally okay for you to say, I have a high value for order. I have a high value for connection. In this moment, for the next hour, my priority singular is order. And saying to your kids, I can't play with you right now because right now I am going to clean the house. And hopefully you can say, and kids, you are going to help me. But even if they won't help and you're just going to do it yourself, you don't have to feel bad that in this moment, your priority is order because you chose it. And then in another moment, you may say, my priority is connection, and we're going to let the house look like a bomb went off for the rest of the day because we are going on a family hike or whatever it might be. But you're so right, Carly, that we can't prioritize it all at the same time. We try to, and that's when we start to feel like we're losing our minds. But it's because we aren't clear on what our singular priority is at any given moment. And I love these takeaways, these reminders that although it is fine to value order, order in your home does not dictate your worth as an individual. And when you start to let it dictate that, you start to feel very unhappy and resentful of the people that make your life worth living, is what I have found. And so I love these reminders from others.
That's exactly right. And you'll know you've stopped groveling to what I call the house god of ultimate worthiness dictatorship. Like, we're putting our house in the position of authority, right? And when we stop bowing to it, this is when you clean because you want to. This is when you stop when you decide to stop. This is when you focus on your family when you decide to. This is when you go to bed when you want to and you wake up when you say you will, because you can focus on your most important priority. And acting with this radical self-discipline, I mean, it feels like radical self-discipline because it's about focus. It's about focus and priority. And this will yield results for you that are more aligned with your true values, like how you talk about in your program. This is so core important. When you're living your life according to your values, that's when you experience the happiness. That's when you experience the ease. That's when you experience the connection, the light, the creativity, the flow. That's when all of this can come into play, is when you have made these decisions.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for this wisdom. And I know listeners are going to want to learn more from you. So where's the best place to start?
Well, you can find me on Substack and you can hear more of my soapbox rantings about the house and how we can connect better and how we're kind of getting in our own way. So that's carlythornock.substack.com. And I send out a weekly newsletter. We do a monthly house project and I send you behind the scenes videos and clips and stuff of my own house projects and our escapades as we travel and renovate homes around the country, which is fun.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. We'll link that in the show notes. I love your work. I've really enjoyed reading your soapboxes from Soapstack, although maybe it should be called Soapstack, from your soapboxes on Substack. I enjoy. And thank you so much for coming back on 3 and 30.
Thanks, Rachel.
Many thanks to Carly for that enlightening conversation. So much to think about there. And as you go about your week and encounter all sorts of messes in your home, I hope you have the opportunity to notice your reactions, your feelings, and your inner dialogue so you can put some of these three takeaways into practice. First, stop taking orders from the inanimate stuff in your house. It's kind of a nebulous concept to consider that you are being bossed around by your possessions, but think about it. When you see a messy countertop or fridge or bedroom, do you almost feel as if it's calling to you and saying, "Drop everything you're doing and all plans for the day and clean me up"? Or do you ever feel like that messy pantry is almost a bully calling out to you, "You can't deal with your life. You are a disaster and I am the evidence to prove it"? My friends, we don't have to take orders or bullying from the possessions in our homes. We are more important than our stuff, and so are our relationships with our children, spouses, family, and friends. So next time you feel triggered by a mess, take a deep breath and say to it, "I see you. I'm sure we'll get you taken care of eventually, but right now I'm choosing to do XYZ, and you will have to wait." Which leads to takeaway number two. Instead of being a slave to your to-do list, let your choices count. This might look like creating a to-da list at the end of the day, making visible and countable all of the choices you made throughout the day that align with your values. Because remember, you get to choose. You get to choose where you put your focus and where you derive your sense of worth and approval at any given moment. Sometimes you'll choose to clean because you want to and you should lean into that. Sometimes you'll choose to ignore the mess and connect with a loved one because you want to and you should lean into that. The key is recognizing that we do have choices, and our choices are more important than completing a to-do list. And third and finally, attend to your heart as you unpack your beliefs about yourself and your home. This isn't easy or straightforward work. It's often not as simple as saying, "Stop feeling bad about yourself if there's dishes in the sink." It starts with doing the deeper work of figuring out why you feel bullied by your home environment. Is it the result of childhood trauma or messaging about your worth that you could use help from a therapist to heal? Is it because you truly do value order and you want to put some systems in place to maintain that more easily? As you figure out your values and you get better at owning your choices and articulating your priority in any given moment, you'll find that you're able to clean because you want to and stop when you decide to. You'll no longer be allowing your house to get between you and your most important people. And that is the goal that I think all busy moms are working toward. We'll get there as we continue to attend to our hearts. As we wrap up, I also want to remind you that I'm teaching a free masterclass during the first week of April, all about overcoming overwhelm. I'm guessing you may have pressed play on this episode today because you're feeling a bit overwhelmed by your house, by motherhood, by life generally. If that's true, reserve your spot in this free class by going to 330podcast.com/masterclass. I will be there teaching live on Zoom, and if you can't attend live, I'll send out a replay. So that's 330podcast.com/masterclass. I'll link that in the show notes. And as always, I'm rooting for you. I hope you have a beautiful week with your family.